1 John chapter 5. Let's read God's Word together. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The room was dark as we entered. After visiting with Dan and Minda Sue for a little bit, Dan seeming as much as anything wanting to warn us that Eddie was much weakened, they invited us into the den where Eddie was resting. Abby and I sat across from Eddie, and Amy Jo sat at his feet. Dan slowly awakened his father, who smiled when he heard Dan's voice and recognized that we were in his presence as well. For the next hour and a half, Abby played her violin, and we sang hymn after hymn, worshiping God together. And we spoke with our friend. And even then, Eddie encouraged us and taught us. It was one of the great privileges of my life to be with Eddie that afternoon. And as we prepared to leave, Eddie tried to stand up from the recliner, and Dan asked him to remain seated. Dan placed his hand on his father's shoulder, and then Eddie prayed one last final benediction over us. You know what it was. Go under the mercy. So in honor of Eddie, I've tagged this sermon. There's no burden here. Let's read verses 2 and 3 together. We're going to focus in there. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, we've heard from John up until this point in this short epistle that we can know that we're of the faith because we believe in His Son, Jesus. We've decided He will be Lord of our life. And that we love one another. That we love brothers and sisters in Christ. That this place is a different place. It's a safe place because we profess a love for one another. Now we see the clarifier from John. We know that we're of the faith when we love God and obey His commandments. Now, some will ponder, what does it mean to love God? This triune, invisible and unseen God that we profess one with another. And we can all understand those thoughts and those feelings because they come at all the children of God. And John is clear. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That we treasure the law of the Lord enough to keep His commandments. To do our very best. And the psalmist writes, blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. Now I confess to you, that's a pretty good picture that I would like for my life. A tree, strong and vibrant, planted by what nourishes it, that gives its intended use in its season, and is not under duress and withering. This tree is alive. And I know that you long for that picture too. John presumes that you and I know the commandments. He presumes that we're meditating upon them like the psalmist writes, and that it's our heart desire to do them more and more. John takes all of this for granted at this particular point in his epistle. And he says that we keep his commandments. Now, we're not under the commandments as a condemnation from a God. And we're to delight in them as His rule of life because we're His children. We delight in His precepts. And we read the Scriptures by day. And we think upon them by night. We delight in the Word to the point of action. Living lives emblematic of this gift that we've received. I would give to you that this is the true picture of Christianity in a life well lived. A life that Eddie demonstrated to us. And as we get started, there's a word that beckons our attention before we proceed. And John writes that we keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Keep. Verb. Terao in the original language. T-E-R-E-O. It's transliterated. Means to keep an eye on, to keep watch over, to attend carefully something. And the idea is this, that there's something that's precious that we long to guard. And this is how many of us that received voicemails and letters and cards of encouragement from Eddie feel. We received something so precious. And we long to tereo it, to keep it. One of the last letters that Eddie sent me, I now have framed. It's a precious gift from a God who loves me and a word of encouragement. It reminds me of Him and the beauty of the gospel that transforms lives too. That keeping, tereo, comes in the present tense. So often in this letter of John, we see that it's not one and done in the faith. It's a daily walking out. A daily keeping of the commandments. A decision. But more than that, it's a lifestyle. For this is the love of God that we keep, tereo, teraho, His commandments. And this is a very important word. And as you read through the New Testament, you're going to see that all the gospel writers use this same word in the original language. Paul uses it. Peter uses it. James uses it. And Jude uses it too. Some 68 times through the New Testament. And what they mean by that is that there's something precious that is kept. And do you know that Jude uses this to describe you as well in Jude when he says that you are kept by Jesus, you precious ones. Paul records to his protege in the faith, Timothy, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Terao. James, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, that we tend to the orphans and the widows in their time of distress, and that we keep, teraho, oneself from being polluted by the world. Jude, in his benediction to his short letter, says it this way, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, later in Revelation, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep. You'll begin to see in the New Testament this word show up over and over again. It's a really important word. Verse 3, second half, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. Burdensome meaning difficult to carry out, to fulfill to completion, taxing, tiring, draining. John writes, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, if you're like me, a tad contrarian, when you see a word that generally has a negative connotation, burdensome, and someone slips a little three-letter word in front of it, not burdensome, then I'm on guard. A little suspicious, not so fast with me. So this week, I too needed some reminding, and maybe you do too, that His commandments are not burdensome. Can we actually say to one another in the pews that keeping His commandments is not burdensome? In this sanctuary, can we speak that truthfully one to another? His commandments are not burdensome. Some know that I've become a passionate spokesman, if nothing else, for this idea that we are, as God's children, to pray the Bible and to meditate upon these words and bring them back to God. So earlier this week, I prayed to the Lord. I said, you know, Lord, this seems like a hard teaching to me. That the idea that Your commandments are not burdensome, can I actually preach that to Your people? Can I stand in a pulpit and actually say that to Your people, some of which are tired and weary, some that feel increasingly isolated in the world in which we walk, that to be a Christian, keeping the commandments of the Lord is not burdensome? I'm here to tell you, in a span of a few minutes, God answered loudly. And when He did, I started writing these things down and ended up with post-its all over my work desk. My pen was a flurry as the Spirit worked. Now there's a lot, and I'm just going to tell you what the Spirit told me. It's a little different for a sermon, but I think that's encouraged. It may encourage someone here to hear just how incredibly fast these thoughts came from God's Word to me. And I'm going to give them to you as they came to me expeditiously. We're going to go through them. And I want you to be encouraged. God's commandments are not burdensome. Here we go. You ready? His commandments are not burdensome because they are commands of God and not of man. Number one, His commandments are not burdensome because they're commands of God and not of man. The commandments of man are burdensome and often come out without the extension of grace offered. Jesus made contrast between the requirements of the religious Pharisees and the simplicity of loving God and following Him. Jesus said of the rules and regulations of the scribes and Pharisees that they were as heavy burdens. But of Himself, He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says simply, if you love me and love my people, you will quite naturally walk in obedience. My commandments are not burdensome because they are commandments of God. Number two, His commandments are not burdensome because they're given in the context of love. Jeremiah 31 in verses 3 and 4, given to Israel, but remaining true for us, beloved. I have loved you with an everlasting love, the prophet writes. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. I will build you up again. And somebody here needs to hear that. Paul writes in Romans 5:8, but God shows us love that while we were still sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. The commandments are not burdensome because they're given to us in a context of love. Number three, His commandments are not burdensome because He's given us a Spirit to guide us. A Spirit called the Helper. Jesus actually tells that His disciples that they should be okay with Him going away because one that's going to come in His after He leaves is going to help them and guide them in the truth. John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. His commandments are not burdensome because He's given us a Spirit to guide us. More on that several weeks ago, if you want to listen to the sermon from April 18th. It was largely about that topic. Number four, His commandments are not burdensome because they can be done. Not perfectly, but they can be done and are being done by others of the faith. And we need to be honest about that too. When we feel that they cannot be done and they're beyond us, then we need to take our eyes out of our foxhole and look around in the pews of this church and be so encouraged because they are being done by others of the faith and have for some millennia. 1 John 2:29, one of my very favorite verses so far, 1 John. If you know that He is righteous, and all the people said amen, amen, He may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. And all the people still said amen again. Amen. You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born again. Practices. Some of us need to circle that in our Bible. Practice. What a grace-filled word. Not perfect. Not measured. That our lifestyle practices righteousness. Number five. I was still writing them down at my desk. His commandments are not burdensome because they lead to life and not death. I feel strongly someone needs to hear this one. Christians often talk about the cost of discipleship. But we rarely talk about the cost of non-discipleship. That a Christian who chooses a path of disobedience to God's commandment chooses a much more painful and difficult path. Because the weight of disobedience is a crushing weight. And it's a life caught up in endless problems that are never really solved. I've had two examples in the last month. One, Dr. Eddie, and another, a dear friend who did not follow in any of the commandments of God. And I'm telling you, the end of such living ain't pretty. Regret, brokenness, loneliness, strained relationships, elusive peace, an aching for truth, hopelessness. We have to be honest about this. The world has done us quite an illusion that we can believe that what Scripture calls the spirit of error has any equivalency with the spirit of truth. God's commandments are not burdensome because they lead to life and not death. Number six, His commandments are not burdensome because they're for our benefit, blessing, and joy. God has given His Word to us to obey for our benefit, blessing, and joy. The psalmist in Psalm 19 writes, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure." We need not keep looking. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And His pen just keeps on writing. Jesus says it this way, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke, "Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and observe it." This is my heart desire. Number seven, commandments of God are not burdensome because they lead to a great eternal reward. The one who conquers will be clothed in white garments, John sees in his vision, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. And a part that's almost too much to fathom, I, Jesus writes, will confess His name before my Father and before His angels. This must be an incredibly great eternal reward that stretches our mind. Number eight, His commandments are not burdensome because they affirm our knowing. In a few short verses in chapter 5, John's going to say, that's the whole reason I've written, is that you may know that you're a child of God. Number nine, His commandments are not burdensome because we have faithful witnesses who have gone before us and have overcome the world. Sometimes we need to get out of our own skin and look around and be grateful for what God has given us as way of example. This church, you know, since 1944, has had just a steady stream of faithful saints. A long line of witnesses who have gone before us. Woe be it to us if we don't learn from their example. They delighted in the Scriptures, by the way. And they show us the way through practical godly living, exuberance for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and keeping His commandments. And you know what? They never ducked. They stood upright, shoulders back, fully convicted of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 16, the psalmist writes it this way, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones." Now, I don't say that to say that we should go out of here all puffed up and prided up, but we need to know that those that have gone before us have been given to us to be an example of the excellent ones. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, join in imitating Paul and the others that are faithful, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example. We give thanks for the many that have gone before us. Number 10, His commandments are not burdensome because He's put us together. Listen, Audubon, those that are in the pews and on the live stream and in the phone lines too. Audubon is special because and only because He's done this. He's put us together. And we best not forget it. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 writes, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined together, held together by every joint with which it's equipped, every single soul, precious and vital, when each one is working properly, makes the whole body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. We have godly mentors in these pews and on the phone lines to cheer us, to etch the lessons upon our soul, to watch and model, to help us go forward. Paul again writes to the church in Philippians, "What you have learned and received and heard, practice these things, and the God of peace may be with you." I want to ask you to do something. There may be someone here who's been that for you. And I would just ask you in a straightforward manner if you would write them a note this week and tell them. There's nothing like a handwritten note to encourage the heart of a brother or sister. This encouragement, this is how church happens. And this is church. There may be someone here that's heard these 10, and I had more, or the Spirit had more, but yet still believes that the commands are quite burdensome. And deep down, maybe you don't even understand a sermon like this. The talk of joy and blessing. And I promise the obedience that characterizes the child of God is not external, ritualistic, legalistic compliance towards an unloving God. I've seen too much to think that. Nor is it an unwilling, partial, insistent, grudging going forth from here. I guess I better do better because the pastor preached I'm not to be burdened. Loving obedience is from the heart, willing, constant, joyful. And so there may be someone here that's asking, how so? And here's a bonus. My kids love bonuses. His commandments are not burdensome because He's given us a new heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is a boon. Sovereign grace, the result of divine goodness and grace. No heart of stone was ever turned into a heart of flesh by trying harder, willing it up, trying to persuade yourself. God Himself softens the heart. In Ezekiel, the prophet writes this way, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and replace it with a new heart of flesh." A heart of flesh is a gift freely given to those who call upon the name of Jesus. Your circumstances may seem impossible yet because you have a heart of stone. God's Word says it this way, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." And I always had to learn verse 17 with it. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." For us, the greatest gift this morning, the gift of a new heart of flesh. I speak with many Christians most weeks, and let me assure you, we all need encouragement. This walk with Jesus was not meant to be walked alone. And so I ask in a straightforward way for those that are children of God, who in your life is walking beside you? That you can count on to put you further down the road. That will redirect you to keeping His commandments and reminding you that it's not burdensome. We need each other. For the saint, all glory to God. His commandments are not burdensome. And as Eddie said, because we go under the mercy of God.